folks. We're back on the flagstaff.com T-Talk podcast. Stefan Tiedorf here with my co-host, who was just talking about his full head of hair, Scott McCloud. Why do you have to bring up your hair to a bald man every day we meet?
Because it's my advantage, right? If I'm older than you, my only advantage is the fact I still have hair, right?
That is, yeah, I guess. That's one way to look at
it. It's my flex.
Yeah, fair enough. How have you been?
I've been okay. I guess you're back to work full time now. So
yeah, work sucks. Why do people work? You know, I'm standing with those people in the States that aren't working, you know. I'm standing on that side of history right now. Yeah, I'm back to work. It's fine. It is what it is, you know. Yeah. You gotta work to do the fun stuff like this.
Are you in the Ryder Cup hangover mode like I am regarding golf?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're just gonna talk about the Ryder Cup in general today. Probably we're going to talk about, you know,
for sure,
this season restarting and everything along those lines, but it was just an awesome week overall. I think the hardest part about the Ryder Cup is it's too long of a buildup, everything, but then when it gets here, it's just amazing. And I think what we talked about last week was all about, hey, enough about, you know, where we play and, you know, these advantages and, you know, those, what was it called? The super group or whatever that they try to create, the task force. Enough about this. Like, all that matters is the product. And like,
yeah,
it was entertaining. The product was good, but it wasn't competitive. Like from day one, it was like, this could get ugly quick.
Yeah.
And, you know, Europe kept it together a little bit day two, but like at the end, when you're down, what was it? 11-5, like you're not winning. You know what I mean? Like, it was, yeah. I'm not gonna lie, I barely watched Sunday. I was like, you know what, I'll just watch football, it'll be in the background.
Well, you know what, I haven't seen the broadcast numbers yet, but they've got to be terrible.
I think I saw, and I'm wrong, but something along the lines of like down 20%, one of the worst numbers for the Ryder Cup in a long time. Now, I don't know. There's a lot of reasons for that potential.
Of course.
Like, it could be, you know, people find streams now for free and all those different types of things. But like, yeah, I think people, Friday was probably good. The hype was there. Like, I got up early and watched, and, you know, watched all day Friday, watched pretty much all day Saturday, and then
Sunday was comes tough.
Around, it's like, well, I kind of would rather just watch football.
Football. Yeah, well, that's probably what would happen and what would account for a lot of the eyeballs going elsewhere. And, you know, a lot of people could just flip back and kind of check to see where the matches are. And if you knew there wasn't a big comeback on the way, it made it pretty hard to stick with it to the end. And of course, you know, once it's clinched, I mean, after that, it's, you know, what are you there to watch? I mean, really, to check out the celebrations? I mean, the matches, they're all sitting ducks at that point.
I get why they do them, is TV contracts and everything.
Oh, of course.
But like, it's stupid. Like, at that point, like just, yeah, I don't care about my record at that point. Like, that's all guys are playing for. And I mean, there are some stories talking about like Ian Poulter and Lee Westwood saying like, you know what, hey, this might be my last match in a Ryder Cup ever. Let's go out and style. And obviously Lee did that. I actually forget if Poulter picked up a win in his final match.
He did.
So there you go. Like, just, you know, it was fine. I mean, like, poor Matty Fitzpatrick, final match, just like, what is he now? 0-5 in two Ryder Cups.
It's not a good scene. I mean, we talked about that last week, and you know, he was lucky he got to 18. There was a sort of a good situation, I think, there on 17, just to kind of keep things going and get it to the house. That was sort of just polite more than anything. But yeah, I mean, I guess there's a lot of circumstances that play into it. And, you know, certainly from a perspective of a viewer, yeah, you're right. A lot of buildup, a lot of excitement. You want it to go to the end as much as possible. You hope that the teams are evenly matched, but, you know, that's two blowouts in a row. I mean, Paris and here now in Wisconsin. So will it make it any less compelling when they go to Italy? Probably not, because by then we'll sort of forget that and we'll just have hope that, you know, some great match is going to happen in just outside Rome.
Yeah, well, let's get into the week, and we're going to do our usual birdie bogey segment, the week that was segment, and I think pretty much everything is Ryder Cup for the most part. So why don't we just get into it? Like, of the week overall, what was your birdie coming out of it all?
Yeah, I mean, it would be easy, obviously, just to say, you know, the U.S. team winning in dominant fashion. But I think seeing what this means to the players is really important. I think a lot of people have their own perceptions of what the Ryder Cup is all about. They look at it as, you know, a competition. It's win or lose. But I think the interview with Rory McIlroy, where he was talking, and he wasn't really talking about the loss. I mean, he mentioned a little bit about, you know, it's hard to lose or whatever, but he had a very emotional interview with both Sky Sports and NBC, really talking about how much it means from a team perspective and to be involved and how important it is and how he wants to be involved with this, you know, to the end of his career. He said, you know, hopefully for 20 more years. So I think those raw emotions are really the key to the Ryder Cup and really engage people. Whether it's the emotions of during the tournament and players getting excited about certain shots or things like that, that's what really gets people ramped up. And that's what's missing a lot of the times when we get regular PGA and LPGA tour events. We just don't see a large range of emotions or a large depth of it. You might see it out of the winner. You might see it out of somebody that has, you know, one thing happen to him, but it's usually pretty, you know, it's pretty boring during the week. There's usually maybe a couple of highlights that are that way, but in the Ryder Cup, we tend to see a lot more. And, you know, it's the jubilation in the player interviews afterwards, but the birdie here is really just a Rory, just a, you know, being honest and, you know, willing to be vulnerable like he was on national television, worldwide television, of just how much this actually means to him.
Yeah, I thought those interviews were great. I don't think anyone's going to disagree. A couple notes from that. A buddy asked, like, where's this emotion from Rory for the Ryder Cup, but not for the Olympics? And I think that just goes back to, you know, I think once he got to the Olympics, he realized we've broken down the Ireland versus Northern Ireland.
Yeah. And he definitely changed his tune on that a little bit, for sure.
Yeah. And I think what we learned about Rory, and I had another buddy in the same group chat, basically just said, like, I feel like he's been faking the I don't care for so long, and he clearly does care. I like what he said, though. Like, I don't care what I've done as an individual.
Right.
I care about this. And I think the difference is, you know, when you go out and play every single week on the PGA Tour, for all these guys, right, every single one of these guys could stop golfing tomorrow. Maybe, I don't know about Weisberger. I don't know how much money he's made, but let's say
I'm sure he's still done okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Every one of these guys could stop golfing tomorrow and be set for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Right. So when they go out each week, you know, we're playing for money, whatever, right? It is what it is. But when we're going out for our country or for, you know, our, you know, for Europe, I don't even know what you call that. I'm drawing a blank right now. But like, they're playing for pride, and pride's different than money. You can't put a price on pride. So there's like, that's where the passion comes out. It's like, I'm pride for myself, for where I've come from, for the people around me, for my teammates. And it's just something we don't get in golf. And we kind of broke that whole down last week with our whole sociology and anthropology discussion that we had. Yeah. I thought Rory's interview was great. The craziest part about that is people were getting on Rory's case, and he didn't play well. No. And that's fair to say. I think the one, like, with him and, was it him and Poulter, where like a best ball, like I, at one point during the match, like on the back nine, they were -1.
Yeah.
Like, you got to think about that. Like if like you and your buddy that are a couple scratch golfers are playing maybe up a tee or two, are probably beating these guys. And that's how bad they were playing in that match, that they were -1 or whatever. Like, just like, they were not playing well. So just to see, but what I was getting to with Rory, like, he didn't like get a captain's pick. This guy earned his way on the team, always earned his way on the team. He's always going to, he's one of the best in the world. And for him, it's just a bad timing for him not to play well. But at the end of the day, it didn't matter. Cause like, John Rahm played his heart out. A bunch of other guys on Europe played well. Yeah. The US were just, everyone was just dialed in.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you saw that from, you know, stem to stern for the US team. I mean, they were stacked. And I mean, I think one of the things that maybe played into that a little bit was the fact that, you know, they had 6 picks this time. Mm-hmm. Not that they varied a lot from what the list was, but I think they got a lot of young talent that was in there. And I think the word rookie doesn't really mean much anymore. Not with these guys. I mean, you know, when you apply the term rookie to a guy like Colin Morikawa, who's won 2 majors, you know, we're not talking, you know, the guy that's 1100th in the world, you know, shaking his way to the first tee. This is this, you know, he's obviously going to feel it, but he's been in high pressure situations before, despite the fact that, you know, we know he's not always the greatest putter, and it's still a problem in his game. But yeah, from top to bottom, they were pretty steady, and you know, everybody was contributing. And I mean, that's the really key. If you want to get points, you know, if you play any type of team event, if you can get everybody contributing and you're not leaning on one player or another, although, you know, obviously certain players excelled, but it just makes it a lot easier to win the team game in the end.
We'll get to my birdie in a second. Would you rather, I'm going to make you pick here, that all right, both teams were full captain's picks, all 12 picks per side, or full earns onto the team? There's no such thing as a captain's pick.
I think for fun, entertainment, and interest, I would like full captain's picks all the way. I mean, I get it for players have the option to, you know, play well and earn it. Although I'm not always 100% sure the formula is great, because, you know, players can obviously play very well in the past. And then, you know, even though there's more points available in the second year, they can still work their way onto the team, but they can be not be in form. I would rather that they're in a situation where they can pick the 12 best players right now at the time that work together well, that pair together well, and then they can relate all the different factors that they need to for those players to work together. And I think as a result of it, there's better odds of having a more competitive overall match.
I agree. I don't have anything else to say. I don't know if they'll ever change it, but like, they got to six now. Why not just make it? Well, I think there's an excitement factor there, right? Mm-hmm. Think about like nowadays the NBA draft. They do a show for like a draft lottery, the NHL draft lottery, and they got the first overall pick there. He knows, like, I'm going first overall. He's sitting there. Who am I going to? Am I going to Edmonton or am I going to Columbus? Right.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there, and ultimately they all go to Edmonton, but that's a whole other discussion. That would be way more exciting if you're sitting there, and maybe even if it's an entertainment project at the end of the day, right? So if you bring all of them, say you bring 30 guys there for the US and you're only bringing 12, and you have Patrick Reed just sitting there on live television, and you don't pick him, and instead you pick Scottie Scheffler, and Justine rushes the stage, and like, that's entertainment. That's what I want to see. I think they could do way more with that than just the here's my six guys that I've tweeted out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the problem, though. Even with the PGA Tour, you know, they try to be very careful with the corporate image and product, and as a result of it, they can't really go full entertainment. And obviously the PGA of America and the European Tour, those are the two people that, you know, kind of run these events, with, you know, the big beneficiary being whoever is hosting. They get the more money out of it. I think they're all going to be somewhat careful and don't want to, you know, they don't want to embarrass their players as well, but as a result of it, they're never going to be full out entertainment products as they could be.
Yeah, but whatever.
So what's your birdie for the week?
All right, my birdie for the week goes to Steve Stricker. I think other captains in the past, I feel like, have made a little bit of story about them. Not actually, but you see them more, you hear them talk more. I feel like you never really heard too much from Stricker. Hey, you players are doing it, go do it. But that's one for part of the birdie. But like, his captain's picks, when we talk about the captain's picks, they went out and they played their hearts out. Like, Scottie Scheffler was a guy that everyone was like, what's this guy doing on the team? 2-0-1, doesn't lose a match. Daniel Berger, 2-1. Harris English, he goes 1-2, whatever, right? Like, Jordan Spieth, you're going to have him on the team. He goes 1-2-1. Like, I still think they were great picks, obviously, to have out there. Yeah. I think what you heard from the players is why that makes sense the most. I feel like he had those six guys, the original six, and he talked to them like, who do you want on this team? Like, I can pull Patrick Reed on this team, but do you actually want that? And instead they went on this mindset of like, we're going to just stick together. We're going to be a good group together. Can you imagine that ending ceremony with Patrick Reed sitting there when none of those guys like actually like him? Remember when he said he was best friends with one, I forget who it was. And like, I don't actually talk to this guy. Like, what are you talking about? And that guy's probably on the road. Like, so like, I think he thought a little bit more strategically. Hey, if it's close between these two guys, I'm going to pick the guy that's going to be better in the room. Scottie Scheffler's not going to come in that room and be an alpha and make it about him.
And neither is Harris. Those are two exactly that way. And Daniel Berger, all the guys love. And then, and Spieth, doesn't matter if he got 0 points, you know, just the emotion and some of the things that he does and how he gets along with the other guys. And he's going to be a guy that's going to have a rallying cry as well. So I'm with you on this one.
Yeah. So I just thought it was great. And we're going to get to a question later about if Steve should be back, and I'm going to get to my thoughts on that. I'm sure you have similar thoughts, but good captain. I think Steve's a guy everybody likes as well. Everyone roots for. Did he do an interview after? Cause anytime he interviews after a win, he cries. So I haven't seen, I didn't see him crying. Did he end up crying in an interview?
He cried. Of course he cried.
I didn't see that. That's good. How would I miss that? I'm sure Twitter didn't blow up on that.
Well, when he's talking about
it, I guess I wasn't watching.
Yeah, I guess you weren't watching, but yeah. I'm sure if you brought it up and you Google it, just put in Steve Stricker crying Ryder Cup, you'll find plenty of clips.
Oh, absolutely. And then, I mean, just a shout out, Dustin Johnson. I feel like this guy, 5-0, and crazy. it was the most quiet 5-0 ever, mm-hmm. in the most Dustin Johnson way. I think they did DJ perfectly, where it's like, DJ, you do your minimal press, you do everything, go do your thing. You don't like doing that stuff, just go out and play. And DJ just was dialed in. This scares me because we got a new season coming out. And I know we're at this weird part of this break where he's probably like, how many events is DJ going to play from now until the new year? Like,
not many.
Three, right?
He's going to be on his boat probably more times than golf shots that he hits in the next 2 months.
Exactly. So like, is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I don't know. But like, if this is DJ, you know how he goes. He goes like, it's a peak that's higher than pretty much anyone can get right now on the PGA Tour. And the valleys are pretty low too. And if this is, he's heading up that peak, like, watch out. We could be in for a big DJ here.
Yeah. Impressive for sure. I mean, it's not often that players have done that. It's been quite some time, but like you said, very quietly. And those 5 points were huge. Despite the fact that obviously, you know, it was a blowout in the end at 19-9, but 5 of those points came from him, one player. And I'm going to guess anybody that was, you know, looking over and going, damn, I got to play against DJ. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You know, they're in trouble.
I'm going to hit my par for the week because we're kind of talking about the U.S. team in general. My par is the whole Brooks Bryson thing.
Yeah.
I think here's my theory. I think Steve went to Brooks privately and said, hey, Brooks, here's what I need you to do this week. I need you to just to fake it. I'm not going to tell anybody else you're doing this. I need you to fake that you like Bryson, play along. Hey, they made these T-shirts. They did all this thing. Play along. Go talk to him on the range. Just because, like, if you
hug him every once in a while.
Yeah, hug him, like, post some photos. Like, just get in his head because we need Bryson to play good this week. And if that's in his back of his head that, hey, one of my teammates, because like you look at it, like when they did that like weird hug with the cup, like Bryson has this big smile on his face and Brooks, he's like, it's like forced. It looks so forced. I don't believe it. Maybe they did grow it, but it's just like, I don't care. I don't care. I know it's an easy storyline. It's easy to joke around about. I don't think the best part, like I didn't see a lot of stories afterwards. I do love that when Bryson said that they were working on something fun to do after this, Brooks was like, I have no idea what he's talking about.
Exactly.
Like, then that's what I mean. Like, where it's just like, I feel like Steve was just like, do it for me here, dude. Here's $50,000. Just do it.
I think in the end, you know, as we've said before, I think a lot of it's overblown anyway. So, you know, can we move on? I hope so. I hope everybody can move on. It's going to take a while, I think. It's a good par as well. I had that in the mix too, because it was just like, you know, what do I think about this? I don't really care, but you
know, that's why it's a par,
I guess.
You know what? It's a par of like, you know, you hit a bad drive off the tee. You had to punch out from, you know, the rough. You ended up short of the green, then you chipped in.
Yeah, like
that's the par. Like everything was ugly until the end.
Accidental par.
Yeah, the accidental par. What's your par?
I think mine this week is, you know, all of a sudden the U.S. gets this win, 19-9. Great. Fabulous. Should be commended for it, just as Europe was in Paris. All of a sudden, speculation that the U.S. momentum for the next Ryder Cups, they're going to, you know, they're going to win all the next ones just in the same way. You know what? Here's the thing. Could it happen? Sure. They've got a lot of talented players. They certainly could. But will it happen? I don't know, and nobody else does. So just sit back and relax and enjoy the fact that they got this win and not be projecting it. I mean, I'm seeing some ridiculous stuff where they're projecting into like 2043 on kids that are in high school now and whatever, who's going to be on the team. Or just give up. Like, seriously, it's a big reach for anything. Just enjoy it. They got the win. It doesn't mean anything. 2 years from now, half these players could not be on the team.
Literally, I mean, half yeah. them from the last time weren't on the team this time for the United States.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the nature. This is not an event that happens, you know, every month. You know, it's a couple of years apart. So teams will change. Dynamics will change. We don't know what's happening with some of these players. 2 years from now, you know, half these guys could be married, have kids, be injured. There's so many different things going to happen in the next couple of years. So, you know, again, I give this a par because basically, yes, there's talented, there's huge, a lot of potential for things to happen, but there's no guarantee it's going to. So just, you know, settle down for now.
Yeah. 2 years ago, Thorbjørn Olsen was playing for Europe. And now where is he, like in a jail cell or something after that, like whole airplane incident? Like Henrik Stenson was on Europe. Like, and if you even go back further, right? Like, okay, the US in 2016 won 17-11 yeah. against Europe. That whole team wasn't there again in 2018. Like, if you look at that team, it's drastically different. I think it's just a horrible take that yeah. this is gonna happen. 2 years from now is a long time, right? And if we look at some of these guys, like DJ, what is he, 37 now? What's 36. 30? Yeah, like what's 38, 39-year-old DJ going to look like?
Yeah.
Right? Brooks Koepka, how's his body going to look? Literally, I mean, literally, what is Bryson going to look like in 2 years? Not like, I don't even care about his golf game. What is he going to look like?
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's so many. And then you look at, like, I don't predict this in at all. But like, you look at some of these young guys, like Morikawa, I get, he's got two majors, Scheffler, like these are young guys on these teams. Every year, there's young guys that are can't miss. Anthony Kim, can't miss. Well, that just injuries take over, things happen, they're no longer here.
I mean, if people don't have the golf experience, just put it in relative terms to baseball, football, hockey. Think about how many of the, there's, you know, hey, we're going to give this guy X for a contract. And next thing you know, 2 years from now, you know, he's down the road, injured, out of the game, like in all these sports. Right. So, I mean, you know, everybody always has that hope of the next thing coming, but rarely does it pan out.
If I had to, both teams, you had to guarantee one player will be only one. I'm just going to make it, you can go Europe or US.
Yeah.
Who is one player that you're like 100%? I feel there's like, I would bet a mortgage payment this guy will be on this team in 2 years.
I would take Morikawa and Hovland. Those would be
wow.
My team. Yeah.
Hovland over Rom. That's bold for me. That's a hot. Why? I need to hear the why behind that
one. I'm just looking at from an age standpoint. I get it. It's easy, obviously, because Rob is the number one player in the world. But I'm also trying to think, I'm trying to project ahead too, that, you know, 2 years from now, Rom could be juggling three kids. You know, Hoblin's still a single guy, you know, he's still really focused on his game and stuff. Like, I'm not saying Rom's not going to be on the team, but you just told me to pick one guy that I could guarantee that's going to be on there.
All right.
And I'm going to go that way. Well, who would you pick? I mean, obviously you're going to pick Rom.
Yeah, I thought Rom was just the easy layup there, but I gotta go Rom. And then I don't see how you don't pick Morikawa right now. Like everything just looks so good for him. There's just no holes there.
He's also a player too that, you know, if you look at it short of his putting, he doesn't have the kind of game that you would expect him to have some sort of injury as well, which, you know, you sort of have to take into account.
Yeah, for sure. Like if I could find a book that's like betting on Bryson DeChambeau being there in 2 years and they'll give me, he won't be. I think you're going to get good odds on that. And I would bet some good money on that. Just from it. I just don't. The guys had a long drive competition 2 days after getting, I mean, he did, I'm not going to, we're not going to get into it like fully, but like he did much better than I thought he was going to do.
So far. Yeah. So far, so good.
And then Berkshire decided, I'm going to take the whole range.
Yeah. Like,
what do you have, 6 yards to the end of the range or something? Yeah. Like that? Just crazy.
Yeah. And, they've got more hitting today that's going on actually almost in a few minutes, which unfortunately, you know, obviously when this podcast is coming out, you'll hear. But yeah, the conditions are totally different. So you're right. You know, he could be out there seeking another 20 yards and he jumps over to that. Because again, you mentioned it. Guys have the money. You know, he could just find himself bored all of a sudden with, you know, PJ Tour golf. So yeah. Who knows with him?
Who knows? He's something else. All right. Let's get into our bogeys for the week. I'm sticking right in the Ryder Cup to the end here. My bogey for the week is this whole fan stuff that they're talking about on, like, which fans are worse, the U.S. versus Europe. And I feel like I'm actually on the wrong side of this fence. And you can probably, you'll actually disagree with me. I do not care when the U.S. fans cheer when the Europeans hit a bad shot.
Yeah.
You're not cheering against that individual player. You are cheering for the opportunity that bad shot gave the team that you are cheering for. And everyone on Twitter sitting on the highest of high horses, they're on their horse that's on top of their horse. That's how high they're sitting. I know if they're there and they see that and everyone's cheering around,
they're going to be doing it.
They're going to be doing it too. That's why I'm so annoyed by it. Cause you're not cheering against it. It's not like the PGA Tour, where Ian Poulter shanks one and almost hits a cameraman. You're not cheering for that. It's different because that's one guy out there.
Right.
This is you're cheering for your team. Yeah. Anything else? The great analogy I saw was when the Raptors were playing Golden State Warriors and Kevin Durant went down with that Achilles, I believe his Achilles snapped. It was in game like five, and it was in Toronto. And the Toronto when he went down, the Toronto fans started cheering. They were cheering for his injury. I think they're realizing, holy, this is going to be a lot easier now that absolute weapon. And I don't know if you remember that game, he had like 4 threes in the first half. He was rolling. It was like, this is going to be a problem. And that's what it's the difference. And people, then the whole debate of like, then the American fans are now like, look at how bad the European fans are. This guy hits in the bunker and there's like claps. Like, it's not actually like they're not actually cheering. But like, and anybody that's like, the Europeans are just as bad. Like, I can't get behind that. But like, the whole like, they shouldn't be cheering for bad shots. It's like, get over it.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with that. I mean, injury, that could be a different story. The thing I would have an issue with, which would be a difference than cheering for a team, would be when it becomes personal, when people are obviously making remarks towards players and saying particular things towards players. Family members or whatever, you're an F in this or whatever. I mean, that's a little much. But as far as the cheers and the boos, that's just the nature of it. You're not going to be able to control that as well, because again, as we've talked about before, it's a fine line of, let's have entertainment and expose the game to a wider audience, or we have a choice. We can keep it as tight as possible and keep it in this little narrow lane. Well, guess what? If you're going to open up the doors and you're going to say, oh yeah, you're allowed to have alcohol on the golf course and you're allowed to, there's certain expectations that come with that. And you have to accept that. You can't just have everything the exact way that you want it. It's never going to happen. We're humans. You're not going to control them all the time. It's pretty hard to do.
Yeah, we were also in Wisconsin for this week. You know where the Ryder Cup is in 4 years?
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
Bethpage Black. Good, it's going to be insane. Luck.
Yeah,
remember how bad it was at the U.S. Open?
Oh, yeah.
When like they were like, these fans are ruthless right now. Now we got we only have to cheer for this team versus your team. Watch out. And also just quickly on that, I was seeing the traffic Twitter going on in Wisconsin. You might want to leave now to get to the Ryder Cup in 2025, because you've been like, I remember you and I were talking about going, was it the PGA Championship that was there a few years ago?
Yeah.
And I was like, we should go. And you're immediately, it was like, I think your answer was like, yeah, we could get media. We're not going because we will never get there.
That's right.
Like, the traffic you will sit in just to get there. You're not getting anything close to stay there.
No.
So like, you're spending 4 hours of traffic each day. You may as well sleep in your car or in the media tent. It's gonna be crazy.
Yeah,
and it's 4 years from now, and I'm already.
But it's gonna be fun though.
It's going to be fun, that's for sure. What's your bogey for the week?
My bogey for the week is Back to the Viewing. And I know we all complain about it, and I know there has to be corporate sponsors to support these events, but man, the commercials, whoa, they were brutal during the telecast over and over and over again. You know, they did some playing through stuff a little bit, but man, I saw some of the same commercials so often. I get it, you know, that's part of it, but it made it very difficult for watching, and there are certainly some missed shots, some things I would have liked to have seen. I just like some other options, maybe to even follow some of the individual matches a little bit differently as well, just to clean up the experience and give people some more options. And I don't mind, you know, obviously there has to be some commercial stuff, but you'd think for the money that some of these advertisers are putting up, that maybe they would sponsor, much like in some of the majors where, you know, maybe the last couple hours or something is commercial free, just so that we can really kind of get into it for sure.
Oh, it was so bad. The best tweet I saw is like, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically like, no one treats their fans with a worse product than golf. And like a TV product, it's like there's way so many more commercials. And I get it. Like, you can't really pause a football game for a commercial, right? Like, you're missing a live play that,
but you still have a choice, and they still present it. And
I guess they could work around it. Yeah. So like, it's bad. I don't know how it's ever going to change. Like, no laying up's been, may as well be called, you know, no commercials or something. A terrible joke, but you know what I mean? Like, all they talk about is it's like
TV,
but it's so true. It's so bad. I think you got 2 years to figure it out. Go the way of the Masters. You can go online. You can see every single shot. You can watch matches live. Why don't you have it where literally it's 2021. You could build it where, and I know maybe there's contracts in it, but you could build it where you literally, you go on and you pay for, maybe it's just pay-per-view online, or it's on the TV where it's like commercial free, $20. You're going to see every shot. Here's your five channels. Here's or four, I guess it would just be four channels. Maybe you have a fifth on the range, whatever. I don't care. But you have your four channels, each match, you see everything. They have a walking person with it, full 4 hour content. Would you drop $20? I drop 50 on that.
Yeah, I would, just because the fact that, you know, half the time when, because I wasn't sitting there watching it nonstop on the final day, half the time when I flipped over to check it out, it was in the middle of the same BMW commercial. You know,
I'm surprised there wasn't any players commercials.
Yeah,
that's usually every once in a while. All right. My last one here is this better that turned $8 into almost $1 million. I don't know if you saw this one, Scotty. So this gambler had a 12 line parlay on the singles matches.
Wow.
And he bet $8 on it. 12 leg is the proper term. $8 on it. And this is one of those ones where it was probably the last $8 on his account. And these are I don't think you actually bet your own money on sports ever, but like, these are the dreams where like you have this, like, you know, this insane parlay, you're like, whatever, it's $8. I'm just going to throw it down. And maybe all my football teams win this week. That I think this guy got everything right. Kepka to win, DeChambeau to win, a tie between Morikawa and Hovland, Berger, Johnson, Westwood, another tie.
Wow. Like,
all of these, he bet $8. He wins $966,290. That's gotta be life changing. You know, if he's betting $8, it's not like he's like one of these crazy sports. This guy probably is just like a casual sports bettor like myself that maybe throws $20 down every Sunday on football. Hey, win, whatever, lose. Hey, it was more entertaining than just watching Jacksonville, Cincinnati, which we get this week. You love to see it. I love to see bettors come out on top. I like them killing the books. And this is one where it looks like he killed the books. I bet you that sports book was calling after like 6-7 in a row. Like, here's your cash out option.
Oh,
here's your cash out option. And I hope this guy just kept flushing and flushing. He knew he was on fire. Almost $1 million. That's just awesome to see.
That's insane. He was the biggest money winner on Sunday.
Pretty much. Yeah.
He won the biggest purse.
Yeah, exactly. What's your birdie for the week?
Yeah, I've got
honorable mention.
I've got two, and they're both birdies. One is for Nasa Hatayoka, who had two aces back-to-back days at the LPGA Walmart Northwest Arkansas Championship on her way to a win, which is pretty cool as well. And my other one is for Callum Davison, who is now won twice this year on the Mackenzie Tour, PGA Tour Canada. He's a cross-handed player, which is fun to see. And he's leading the points list right now heading into this week. And he tees it up for the first couple of rounds with our previous guest, Noah Steele, and Brendan Leonard, who is in third in the points list, a name that you brought up very early this year.
Told you, watch out for this guy.
And said, watch out. And those three and Michael Blair are the only players that can actually win the overall points list for the year going to this last event that they have in Victoria, BC. So it'll be fun to watch. Davison knows this golf course, Uplands of Victoria, that he's played very well on. But the fact that he's a cross-handed player and stuck with it throughout his career, kind of good validation for him and kind of neat to see.
Yeah, a lot of ways to get it done. It's so frustrating when you see that, though. It's like, this guy's cross-handed and I can't hit a ball half as good as you with
But he says he's the same, though. If he goes back to, you know, normal or traditional, he can't hit a ball. He's so ingrained with all the elements that he has. So, you know, so if his friends do a switch, and he said he's done it a few times where his friends have to play cross head and he plays regular hand, and they're both terrible when they do it. So,
yeah. Now, I mean, probably still beat me than my left-handed swing. There's nothing worse. I should take another video at some point.
Have I seen your left-handed swing?
Oh, it's horrible. I found a video recently. I'll fire it over to you. It looks like.
Does it look like you've never played golf before?
Yeah, it looks like it's like my body doesn't know how to move. And it's so weird because like I'm just on the other side.
Yeah.
There's no fluidity to it. It's so stiff. Nothing is turning, which is like, you know, I need to work on getting bigger turns anyway, but not like it's so bad. I'll send you a video after and you can just
roast it.
It's horrible. That's it for the week. I love it. Ryder Cup, two more years. We do have a President's Cup in a year, which is awesome. And a couple of years will be in Montreal for one. That's that one we will be at. I know that for sure. So that will be exciting, but we got more golf. Golf is back. I think, there's a couple of good tournaments on this week. I tweeted out earlier. There's the top one for me is the Dunhill Links. Cause anytime TV, I'm watching that. I'm looking forward to it. I got a wedding this weekend. I don't ever do this with golf. I actually might record it. I might record it and come back and watch it. Cause it's one of the ones, the European Tour is one where I can kind of get away from spoilers. It's not like I'm not on European Tour Twitter for some reason. But like, I think I get away from spoilers.
But you should be. Our good friend Rue McDonald is their
social media. No, I follow them. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, I just like, I don't have all the, like the people don't watch it enough here when like they really should. It's the best part of like Saturday morning in the summer. You watch European Tour, you go play golf. But even the winter, I just love it. So that one's that's starting this week. And then my second one for the week is the ShopRite LPGA with Mel Reid defending, which is a big week, but started off on a little bit of a rough
note. Yeah. Did you talk to Dez at all about that? I didn't.
No, did you chat with him? It looks like
I didn't text him.
It might have been Dez's fault.
I guess the driver or whatever the clubs that Mel Reid's clubs are in the bag. I guess the bag ended up upside down and the snapped the shaft in the driver. So I didn't text him on that. I messaged Mel and said, you got to blame it on Dez, of course. You know, I'm sure she was already as it was.
Oh yeah. She gives him a hard time. So that's good. Those are my top two. And then, we have the Sanderson Farms down in Mississippi.
Yeah.
And I hinted at this last week, Scotty. Last year we did this game where I went through the entire schedule from the 2020-2021 season. Yeah. And what we're going to do and what we had to do is you had to name who won that tournament the previous year. Now, this is a weird one because I don't know if you remember the last time they played this tournament in Mississippi, if I'm not mistaken, was at in 2019
they played it last year because I actually saw
so them. This tournament was one of those ones that had two in the calendar year. All right
So I saw, I saw it actually. I saw a replay of this one, so I will get that one right.
All right. So this is also the first year with the first year where the Greenbrier is no longer a tournament for the PGA.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. So
all right. So what we're gonna do is, Scotty, is I'm gonna go through each tournament for the year. That is about to happen. We got a lot. We're going to be here a while.
We're not going
to
do all 50. We can't do all 50.
We'll go through quick. You just go quick. We'll fire them off. We'll let's see how far
we're going to be. A lot of guesses here because, man, absolutely. The last 18 months have been a blur.
That's why it's going to be super, super difficult. And maybe as we go, we can do a little bit of like a quick memory on them. But yeah, we're at the Sanderson Farms at the Country Club of Jackson. Going back to Jackson. Who won? And the last time this tournament was played,
It was Sergio Garcia.
Yeah, I think that one was easy because that was easy. Up 100 times.
It literally was just on TV earlier tonight, and I do remember that because, you know, he hadn't won in over 3 years. It was his 11th win on tour, and distinctly, I do remember the fact that he made an eagle coming in, and that sort of got him in there, and then he stuck it on the last hole and tapped her in and had that victory, because it's really rare. I mean, think about it, he's the only Ryder Cupper in the field this week, so the fact that he's back there in Mississippi, the fact is Sergio and Mississippi doesn't seem to go together, the two things, but yeah. No. Anyways, we'll leave it at that.
No, I like that. All right, who won the Shriners Children's Open at TPC Summerlin?
Oh my god,
he just choked, he was so upset.
I know. Las Vegas, who won in Las, oh my god.
If you get this one, and for the record, I just wanted to tell why we're doing this. Scott is, you've heard this, if you listen to the podcast, you know, you have, there's knowledge upon, like, I'll bring up something like, oh yeah, he won there in 68 or whatever. Yeah. Like, you remember everything. So mate, we're just testing if the old age.
Well, I guess what? I'm not even, I'm going to say it was a younger guy. I don't even,
Martin Laird.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, see that. See, that's the problem now, is that the, you know, the last, as I said, the last 18 months have been such a blur. It's been, you know, basically you watch an event, you forget about it. That's really what it amounts to. So, yeah.
All right. So the CJ Cup moved to Las Vegas last year. It's actually in Las Vegas again. Who won the CJ Cup?
Was that Kokrak?
That was Kokrak. All right. Yeah. Nice. Okay. Nice.
I knew that. I knew that because he had an affiliation with MGM. So somehow I remember that.
2 for 3. All right. The Zozo Championship moved over to the U.S. last year, is now back in Japan. Who won the Zozo last year?
The Zozo was a player who won. It's somebody who won multiple events, because I remember seeing their name in something. It wasn't Justin Thomas, was it?
It was not. It was Patrick Cantlay.
Oh, yes. All right. Yeah, right. Patrick Cantlay. So that was one of his 4 wins. And again, I only remember that because we were talking about the player of the year a couple of weeks ago, and it was in that listing. So, and the fact is, I didn't really fully remember it because obviously I didn't get it.
No. If you get the alternate field events, I'll be shocked. The Butterfield Bermuda Championship, playing at Port Royal Golf Course in Bermuda. Who won this? I'll give you a hint. I love this guy. That might be a trick hint, but I love this guy.
Brendan Todd won the one before. So last year, you love this guy.
Oh, I love him.
Joel Damon?
Big fans. No, this was Brian Gay.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man. Who, oh, yeah, once, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got mad at me for giving him a banana that wasn't yellow enough. the WGC in Mexico at Mayacoba, Riviera Maya. Who won last year, Scotty?
Oh, God. I am, like, roasted on this. Mexico.
You're 2 for 5. It's okay.
Oh, no, that's bad. Abe answer.
No, Victor Hovland. Victor
Hovland. Oh, Hovland.
You got to get, we're going back. You're picking recent winners. We got to go back a little
bit. I'm not doing well, that's for sure.
All right, we're 2 for 6. This is tough so far, but I feel like you're going to make it up on the back end here. All right, who won the Houston Open? It was a shock to see him in the field.
Because we thought he was dead.
Thought he was dead. His caddy should have been killed by
From Hilton Head. Carlos Ortiz
picked up a win. Yeah. This was that stretch where just the weirdest winners kept picking up wins. The RSM Classic at Sea Island, Georgia. Who picked up a win in this one? I'm starting to remember these. These are the ones where I'm starting to pick up memories of watching these tournaments.
Oh, that one was a... I'm going to think that was a guy.
I believe he won in a playoff, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's going to be... It was a guy like Brian Stewart or somebody like that.
Yeah, Robert Streb. I'll give you a half point.
There you go. There you go. That, exactly. That same sort of category where you're like... Yeah. The guys that sort of hang around and... You know, they get done their career and they actually have three wins and you're like, oh, okay. I didn't realize you made $25 million on the tour, but somehow you did.
I'm not going to make you do the Hero World Challenge or the QBE Shootout. Those are just silly tournaments anyway. The Century Tournament of Champions. Now we've reset the season last year. Who picked up that win?
Big Harris.
Yes, Harris. He actually won the week prior too at the QBE
Shootout. Oh, did he really?
All right. And then we had to the Sony Open. We're still in Hawaii. Who picked up that one?
Oh, the putting king, my guy that I wanted on the Ryder Cup, Kevin Na.
Oh, see, I told you you're going to pick it up here. Yeah. The American Express at PGA West in La Quinta, California.
Oh, boy. I don't even know if I watched that one.
I don't think so. I saw this. I was completely shocked.
I have no idea. Not even
Siwoo Kim picked up a win there. I like that. No really? Memory of that tournament. Like that had nothing. Now this next tournament, there was a lot of controversy at this tournament. Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. Oh,
and the controversy wasn't Mackenzie Hughes's golf ball going up in the tree. No. It was another guy who maybe had a ruling or two.
His golf ball was going places that it wasn't actually originally when he got
Patrick
to
Reed.
That was my memory of
now
there.
They just announced that they're going to have a Saturday finish for that tournament next year because
awesome
with the obviously with the Super Bowl and all that going on, they want to make sure it doesn't conflict.
Which is weird that the Super Bowl is happening then because it usually happens Scott around Scale. The Waste Management Open. Yeah.
It's just the way the calendar works. So, but they are having a Saturday finish, which is, hey, you know, I'd love to see more of those anyways.
I've never seen an airport more packed than the time I was going to Scottsdale. It was the Sunday. I landed in the Sunday or it might have been the Saturday. I forget whatever it was. They had the Waste Management Open was happening there. And the Super Bowl
at the
same time. It was literally like, you know, the old videos of the Beatles where it's just like they had to like push crowds. Like you had a single file tunnel, basically, once we got off the point to where we needed to go. It was crazy.
And Sky Harbor is not the biggest airport as it is.
No, it's not. But one of my favorite airports. That airport's smooth, quick, get in, get out. All right. We had to the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, my least favorite tournament of the year. Who won this last year? Because this one shocked me. You could have put a gun to my head. I know this guy picked up some wins, but like this shocked me.
Bill Murray? I don't know. I forget.
Daniel Berger. I do not really recall him winning at Pebble Beach. Yeah, kind of shocking to
wow
me. Yeah, weird. Very weird. Waste Management Open. I was actually at the last Waste Management.
Oh, yeah. That was Brooks. I can remember that one.
Oh, wait. No, I wasn't. Was that one two? No. Maybe
2 years ago. You didn't go
yeah
last
2
year.
Years ago. Yeah,
two Brooks, years Brooks ago. Won it. Brooksy.
Yeah, you're right. Brooksy picked up a win. He made me a lot of money that week.
Very nice.
He had 65-1 odds. I threw $10 on. Thank you. All right. Wow. The Genesis Invitational happened. This one's super easy. Oh, if you don't get this one, you're out.
Yeah, that was a great win, actually, by Max Homa.
Yeah. Beat Tony Finau in a playoff. That was good. I love Riviera. I love that week. It's one of my favorites. That's just a good stretch of Farmers. If the AT&T didn't happen, that would be awesome. Like, I love watching Pebble Beach. I just cannot watch that tournament.
Yeah. Well, this past year, didn't they cancel the
program? Yes, and it was awesome. It was great.
Yeah, we didn't watch him.
Which is why Daniel Berger won, because he doesn't want to schmooze with CEOs for a week, right? Like, it was a great tournament that week. We go to the Honda Classic after this. If you get this one, like, this is where I'm just shocked with you. Matt Jones. Matt Jones picked
really up the Aussie. Wow.
Yeah. We had the Puerto Rico Open. Now I remember this one. This one's actually a good one. This was actually a very good tournament.
Puerto Rico
happens at the same time as their own Palmer.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. Obviously, opposite field. I got a, it wasn't like Brendan Steele or something.
I thought you had it. Brendan Grace.
Oh no.
Brendan Grace. And it was a big deal. I think he was on kind of like, I believe he only had a few more starts of like a medical or something along those lines. And his dad had literally just passed away.
Great
storylines. Yeah. And he just got it done. And he was dialed. I remember like a 3-wood late. That was just on a rope, and he's one of those guys that you just want to see mash balls on the range, like the way he hits irons. It's awesome. All right, this is a stretch. I think you're gonna start hammering them out. Darnell Palmer, who won last year?
Bryson won that one.
Yeah, Bryson. Yeah. They had to get his double XL
jacket
cardigan sweater for him.
Yeah.
The Players Championship.
Oh, JT. And actually, that's a kind of funny one because, his putting coach couldn't watch because he had that 3-putt early on in the back nine. So, and JG, John Graham, actually, he messaged about it or tweeted about it, the fact that he couldn't watch and he had to go grab a couple of beverages and go and sit and have them on over on the driving range. And I will tell you, some things were happening this past week at the Ryder Cup when JT was struggling a little bit and he did the same thing. He disappeared over to the area and had a couple of beverages, but at least he got to celebrate in the end.
That is awesome. The Valspar comes up after the Players. Do you remember who won that one?
Valspar.
You have mentioned him today. I don't know if it was on this podcast, actually. Might've been before we started the podcast. Where was, I forget.
No, I haven't even got that. And it was
Sammy Burns.
Oh, yes.
The WGC match play comes up after that at Austin Country Club. It wasn't Kisner. It's the only place he usually wins. Who picked up a win there?
It was Billy.
Billy Horschel. Another guy very Kisner-like. That,
yes, y'all, very much.
What's up with that course where like these short hitters that just putt really well and match play?
Match play. Hard golf course as far as firm. Ball rolls out.
Fair enough. The Corrales Punta Cana Championship happens next. Who picked up that one?
Corrales Punta Cana.
First time winner.
Oh, God. First time winner. Crap. not that guy. I don't know. I remember McDowell won it a couple years ago, but
Joel Damon. You mentioned him earlier. Joel Damon. That was, it was awesome. Bummer. Never seen a guy like picks up a win, you know, had a tough, like, I thought this guy was going to cry. No, he just said, let's go party. Yeah. The Valero Texas Open happened at TPC San Antonio. Who picked up that win?
A guy who I remember seeing him play there when he was just 16, good old Jordan Spieth.
Nice. The Masters was won by Hideki. And I
mean, yeah, so that was that one. That one's not even tough.
The RBC Heritage, who picked up a win there?
That was Stewie. Stewie got her done.
The Zurich Classic of New Orleans. This was a team event.
I know this one because I predicted this one. I said,
you know, watch this. Small wine on that one.
Yeah. Mark Leishman and Cam Smith.
You know what? I just thought about it. We got to get back. We got to make some picks this week. We got back into the wine bets. I think you've been quiet about it. I wonder why. We have a new tournament this year called the Mexico Championship on the PGA Tour. No further details at this time.
Awesome. Looking forward to that.
Like, it literally, if you go on the schedule, it just says Mexico Championship. It's worth 500 FedEx Cup points.
TBA.
We got a date. We don't have a course. We don't have where you buy tickets, flights, nothing. Just that. So can't wait.
I'm gonna say that's probably the sponsorship group that used to be behind the WGC, and they probably got the event. The Grupo Salinas. They're probably running that event.
But there is a WGC in Mexico already.
Yeah, but that same group is probably
The mob down there. All right, Wells Fargo. Who picked up a win at the Wells Fargo?
Oh, that was Rory at the Quail.
Are they playing at a new course this year? They're playing at TPC Potomac.
Yeah,
not at Quail Hollow.
No, they with the President's Cup and them getting ready and stuff like that. They flipped it out.
See, that's why I bring it up. I knew that. I just wanted to lay it up.
Potomac, Scotty, by the way.
Yeah, I've also, I don't care. the AT&T Byron Nelson, who picked up that one? If you get this, I'm done.
Nope, don't know.
KH Lee, there you go.
Who's
Phil,
that?
Phil won the PGA Championship.
Yeah.
Who won the Charles Schwab Challenge?
Charles Schwab was, that was the, that was the second win for Kokrak.
That was. Yeah. And this next one was a second win at the Memorial Tournament in Muirfield Village.
Oh, that was who won it, or who should have won it,
Who's
leading? No,
John Rahm did.
I cannot get it away. Cantlin won it. So
finally, we make a return to Canada after this at the RBC Canadian Open at St. George's. Who was the last winner at the RBC Canadian Open?
It was Rory, of course.
It was me because I got
the caddy. You got the caddy.
Yeah, no, it was Rory. That was, I'm looking forward to St. George's. We cannot wait. We're in the US Open after that, where John Rahm will defend. I'm not even giving Scotty these
there's
ones.
There's no point in that one.
The Travelers Championship. Another win for this guy. Who was it?
It wasn't Patton Kizzire, but it was sort of.
There you go. Harris English. The John Deere Classic. This guy, he's not in the doghouse this week.
Surprising. Lucas Glover.
Lucas Glover. Yep. Poor Lucas Glover. Just like.
It's crazy, though, how good he still is.
Yeah. The Barbasol Championship. There's not a chance you'll ever get this one. Seamus Power.
Oh, Seamus.
Seamus. Yeah. Sorry, my bad. I'm struggling.
You've been to Ireland, have you not?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at it, Seamus. He could be Seamus. I don't know. Seamus. Wow. Tough. Edit that one out. We got the Genesis Scottish Open this year, where there is no former tournament. We got no course. No. Here we are again. Another random one that's probably.
What course is it at?
Nothing. Scott, you can't even book a flight right now. It's nothing. It's worth 500 FedEx Cup points. That's all you got right now.
All right. Fair enough.
The Barracuda Championship. Who won this one?
No clue.
Eric Van Rooyen. I don't remember him winning. Yep. Morikawa won the Open Championship. The 3M Open. Who picked up a win here?
Oh, my boy CC.
Cameron Champ. Yep.
Yeah.
Followed by...
Who I bet on all the time, but, wouldn't win. Then I didn't pick him that week and he won.
All right, we got two more, and then we'll stop because we're not going to go through the
everybody's asleep
the playoffs. Yeah, exactly. We got the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Who picked up a win at the Rocket Mortgage?
Former guest Cam Davis.
Nice. I agree. Yeah. I agree with that answer. Good answer. And final one, the Wyndham Championship. Finish off the regular season, playing at Sedgefield Country Club. Who picked up a win there?
Yeah, I don't even remember.
You don't?
I don't.
Think about everything that happened after. He picked up win. There was the 8-man playoff, if I'm not mistaken, or 6-man playoff.
Yeah, Kisner. Is that Kisner? Yeah.
That was Kisner. Yeah. Weird playoff.
That was a
weirdest playoff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as you heard, Scotty does pretty well at these. But, yeah.
It's hard, though, man. You got to shake the cobwebs, and you have to have some little nugget that sort of reminds you of it. Maybe there was one moment or something. Otherwise, it's like, oof, I don't know. I mean, if I went back 4 years and tried to pick out the events, I'd be zero for.
Oh, yeah, for sure. that would be disgusting. But when you got Seamus Power in there.
Yeah,
and KH Lee.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of
Robert
events.
Streb.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many events. It's just crazy that we really play for 10, watch golf for 10 events of the year, but here we are.
Pretty much.
All right, Scotty, that was it. Korn Ferry Tour qualifying continues. Former guest of the show, Mark Onguano, he's off to second stage. Nice to see that. Unfortunately, Mark Baldwin did not get through first stage, which is unfortunate. But hey, reunion that him and Ryan French have. Ryan has come out of retirement as a caddy, and they are heading to do some Monday qualifiers over the next couple of weeks. So nice to see that. Hopefully they can catch lightning in a bottle a couple more times.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, we'll be keeping an eye on Korn Ferry Tour qualifying. Any other names that you were keeping an eye on there?
No, there's a bunch of Canadians and stuff that are involved, which I always keep an eye on. And, guys like Albin Choi and Jared Dutoit are, getting started there. Those are guys. Blair Hamilton, who's a guy I had some interaction with in the last little bit. Great guy. He's taking a shot at it too. There's certainly deep with names. Like it's insane when you go through and see the list of guys that have been very successful over the years, and they're there at first stage in Korn Ferry Tour qualifying, which is wild.
Yeah, it's golf's tough.
It is tough.
Why don't we hit the mailbag? No guests this week, as you probably figured out by now, and you're like, damn, I've been fast forwarding this whole episode and get to somebody other than these two idiots. Well, we got a little bit more of us two idiots. We got a mailbag to get to. So Scotty, why don't you open the mailbag, ask us these questions, let's get to them.
All right, let's go do it. Any tips on dealing with fall golf and lousy weather? What's your experience and what's your keys for that this time of year, I guess, playing?
I think the people that do it right, and I would never actually do this, are the people that get those like covers for the golf cart, and then they bring their little heater in the golf cart.
Yep.
Those are the people that do it right. Like
I see those at all the fall scrambles, all the guys just load it up and
yeah, ready to it's go. So yeah. Smart, but like I couldn't bring myself at that point. It's like I don't want to play golf. it's too much to play golf.
Yeah,
like I don't want to play golf. Like I'm hitting like a 730 yards at that point, you know what I mean? Like it's cold. I think mitts is definitely a key, but also if you hit a ball somewhere and there's a bunch of leaves, just drop a ball.
I don't care.
Especially the whole like, and if you're playing a guy for money, even if it's like $20, whatever, and a guy hits it into some leaves, give him a free drop. Don't be a dick. Like like no one's finding it. And it, like, so that's a couple of my tips that like, I just like anytime it's in the leaves, it's a free drop for me. Fall golf drop, whatever you want.
Yeah, it should be just, you know, more exercise than anything. I'd say play match play over stroke play, just so your expectations are different. You know, have a match, have something that's fun, because obviously your stroke play score is probably getting inflated by a little bit. Your distance, you're not going to hit it quite as far because the ground's going to be wet, all those certain things. You know, greens can be aerated too, so they're going to be bumpy too. So just lower your expectations. The other side of it is that, you know what, once you get cold, it's hard to get warm again. So I'd say, yeah, cart mitts, great to have, even if you're not on a cart, just so that you can put them on your hands between shots. And the other side is just layer up as much as possible. I always go with like a long sleeve under layer. Usually a lot of times I'll end up, you know, once it gets cooler, probably about three or four layers of thin layers, so that you still have some mobility and stuff like that, and keep yourself warm that way. Because like I said, once you get cold, it's hard to get warm again for sure.
Last two things, Bailey's in your coffee. That needs to happen. And a couple extra golf balls for when you do lose it under the leaves or plugged somewhere.
Yeah. And you know, the only tournaments I end up playing in this time of year will be some scrambles that come up. We get some horrific weather, and don't be shy about how much club you take as well. I've seen great players get in situations and they underestimate the wind. And like you said, you get those shots where you're hitting seven irons from 130. Yeah, hit those. The player that gets up there and tries to, you know, swing their pitching wedge harder, it doesn't work very well. You've got wet turf, they get steep in there, they hit shots fat, they create more friction, more spin on the ball. There's all sorts of things that can go bad. So it's a good time to just hit some three-quarter shots and take a lot more club.
Yeah, that's a good point. I got a fall scramble coming up next week, so we'll see how that goes. Yeah, a little fall scramble over at Smuggler's Glen. So
nice.
I had to go to the range the other day because I didn't remember the last time I hit a golf ball. So we'll see how it goes. I actually had a weird range session where I didn't hit a golf ball since you and I played. Like,
yeah, we
didn't
go to
the range
falls
or anything. And it wasn't good. I went to the range. I think I bought a large bucket. I might have hit half of them because everything was so good. Literally every shot I was like, this is amazing. Like, so I had like a great feel. Like everything was so good. It's like, what am I gonna learn with the rest of these? Nothing. Like, and I wasn't gonna try anything dumb like jumping at the ball and falling over again. So literally
left-handed.
I might have been on the range for 25 minutes. That's how quick it was. It was like in and out. There was like at least half a bucket of balls there hitting driver. Like I, after watching Bryson, I saw a couple tweets like, why are we trying to hit swing 80% of their driver anymore? So I was like, literally just trying to like hammer drivers and they were working. Like, I was like, whatever, I'm done. It's good. If this is there next week, it won't be. But here we are. So yeah, that's what happened.
Good luck with that. Yeah. All right. Best post round beverage you had this year. Ooh boy.
Oh man. Man, this year, now like the 2 years are almost blurring together right now. I'm going to go, Beacon Hall patio. We had some nice, I think we had a couple beers on the patio. I think I had a nice vodka drink. I forget whatever it was. And they were the best because, I think, my team won those drinks if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
so that's why they were the best. Cause me and my guy, Jason from Titleist picked up the W over the old guys.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, you know what I'm going to say the best one for me, was probably just a beer on the deck at Eagle Creek in Ottawa after the spring open, for our PGA event, just because I had made that luscious 9 on the first hole. So I had to basically tell that story about 20 times.
Hours.
Yeah. Cause everybody was like, hey, I looked on the live scoring. How'd you make 9 on number one? So,
Puff rate.
Yeah, it's exactly it. So, so I know that's an odd one for sure, but it ended up being a funny one anyways. And it's, you know, you have to be humorous about that. I mean, you know, I did it. So,
yeah, that's the hard, like the first hole that bad in a tournament. It's I have to wait. And like a lot of amateur tournaments, like, for example, like our Flagstaff Open, you can have beers out there. We don't care. But like when you're playing in a professional tournament, mm-hmm. as a PGA member, you're not getting a beer out there.
Nope.
That's not happening. That's very frowned upon. So
no. And you're out there going, okay, now I got to grind and trying to make this look respectable in some possible way and do that without the help of a beverage. So anyways. All right. Do you think the U.S. Ryder Cup team should have Stricker as the captain again?
I think the captain should be the captain until he loses, or she, I guess. Wow. You could have a woman's captain. So I think Stricker should be
king of the court.
Yeah. Mm. Prove me wrong. Like, hey, I did something. Mm. Like, you know, if Azinger was so great with his silly pods or whatever, like, and it was that great, he could still be captain today. Yeah. If they kept winning, why would you change it? Right. It's like the Super Bowl winning team. They don't go out and get a new coach the year after. Right. Prove, you know, do it until you can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I know their purpose is to win and whatever, but I think for the captain here, it's not like somebody's got a position that they're being paid millions of dollars to do this for a couple of years. So I think the commitment is just a little bit too much on the players. And Stricker basically said that as well afterwards, that, you know, there's other guys that are lined up and should be in line to have it. And again, although there is influence, and we talked about it earlier as far as Stricker dealing with the players and stuff like that, I still think it's a minimal influence. You know, the players have to play and the players have to be the ones to kind of get things together. So I would not attribute a lot to the captain. Mark Halkovecki was saying on Twitter, he's like, the guys that putt the best will win. Mm-hmm. That's really what it comes down to. And guess what? The captain is not making your putts for you. So they have an influence for sure. But I think, you know, it's largely ceremonial. So I think you have to sort of, especially since it's every 2 years, you have to work through the players that, you know, should be having the opportunity to captain. So I think you just move on.
Yeah. I think at this point they'll never do that. But I think if we go back to 27, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, go back to then. If they set it up that way then and have it now, then you wouldn't have those thoughts. But they did it the way they do, and here we are. Sure. So whatever, fine. You can have you know what? Who's the next captain?
US? Zach Johnson.
Oh.
I know you'll hate it, but it's going to happen. Oh, you gotta remember, he's been an
assistant. No, I can see, I closed my eyes.
He's been an assistant here for a while. So I think
Zach Johnson gets over Phil. Phil's my pick.
Phil'll be the one after that. He's gonna get Beth Page.
Oh
yeah. Think about that.
What if Tiger says I want it? Did they throw ZJ?
Tiger can have it anytime he wants, but I think Tiger will defer. And if he wanted the one that in Italy, he would get that. But I think Tiger would defer for the New York to Mickelson, just because of, you know, his relationship with the fans there. Not that Tiger hasn't had an amazing relationship with the fans there, but I think Mickelson is going to be at Bethpage, and that's going to be add another amazing element to it for sure.
If ZJ is the captain,
it's in Italy, man. Who's going to be paying attention to it?
Everyone. But it doesn't matter. They like ZJ. Yeah. ZJ, you know what? I'll say this. I'll put this on the record.
Yeah.
If ZJ shaves his head, I'll be team ZJ. I will cheer for US the whole way. But if he comes out there with those bacon strips on the top of his head, hanging on for dear life to his hair, and it's from one bald man to another, ZJ, because you are a bald man, you need to accept this, then I will cheer for him. But if he goes out, he's still hanging on, he's at the final ceremony, or he hasn't gone to Turkey and got the implants in the top of his head, I will chirp ZJ all week. Always. Done with ZJ.
Who do you think for Europe? You make your picks.
For Europe. That's actually, yeah. The problem is, my heart wants to say Lee Westwood, but I think he wants to play. I think he really wants to play.
I know he wants to, but, you know, he's 11. He's 11 in. He'll be 50. Will that happen? I mean, will he be playing good enough? I mean, he's playing good enough now.
Yeah, 50 is that's pretty.
That's a stretch.
Pretty deep. I mean, Stenson was out there, right? Like, he's a couple years younger than Lee, right? He's what, 2 years younger than Lee? I think he's 46 or something. Yeah.
What
like
about
that.
Poulter at some point?
Poulter's absolutely going to be out there. What about Victor Dubuisson?
Dubuisson. Come on.
Whatever. Where is that guy? That's my question.
That's crazy. You know, and I think when they go back to, I think by the time they go back to Ireland at Adair, I think it's going to be McDowell at that point.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know what I actually think is going to be next time, because he's kind of left the spotlight well before, you know, talking about Poulter and Lee. It's been a while since, you know, he's been relevant. Luke Donald. So my guess is actually going to be Luke Donald.
That's a solid choice for sure. And obviously he was active as the vice captain this time as well. So he's certainly in the mix, and, you know, had the fact that he's been a world number one.
Though I like, let's get weird. You're up. Give it to Rory. Let him be a playing captain. Let's get weird. I don't know, but I think it's gonna be Luke Donald.
Yeah, I think there's too much going on to try to be a playing captain. I mean, guys are busy enough with their careers as it is. So
yeah, my guess is Luke Donald for the U.S. side. I think you're right that they hold for Phil. I think they probably told him that, but like,
yeah. Well, Furyk? Like I said, though, with Tiger, no, Furyk's already done it. So,
Oh, yeah. My bad.
So, yeah.
Bubba?
Yeah. Bubba. Oh, wow. Would that be something?
Brant Snedeker?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think we still have to do, at some point, we still have to do an all entertainment team and pick a funny captain to go with it as well.
Yeah, I think we tried to do a little bit of that. Yeah, we did that. Remember, I drafted Anthony Kim.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. That would be unreal.
Yeah.
Screw Phil in New York. Yeah. Anthony Kim comes Anthony out Kim as the captain.
Bethpage.
Awesome. Oh my God. Mic's peaking. I'm so excited. That was so sick. The place would go wild, and he comes out with that belt buckle.
I was going to say, he should have the belt buckles for all the players too.
And he's
right?
running down. They win. He's running down with the flag again. I would apply for citizenship. I would. I'm in.
So good. All right. We'll move on, because we could spend a lot of time on that one for sure. Is the price of golf equipment ever going to level out? It just keeps getting more expensive. Obviously, that sounds like a statement at the end, but it is true. That's for sure. Thoughts on that one?
Is it really, though?
What's that?
So I understand. I think what people see is drivers, the price of drivers going up, but is everything else really that much different? Like, I was looking at
1700 for price of irons now.
That's fair. I guess, like, thinking back, you know, when I was kind of doing it full time, like the high end ones would probably be 12.
Yeah.
But like, so I guess the question is it's never coming down. I hate to break it. Like, no. If it's that expensive, there's alternative options at great prices, and they have the reviews to prove it. Like, go grab some sub 70s.
Right.
Right. Like, if in the iron and wedge market, you can get it done at a very.
Sure. We've had Haywood on here as far as doing wedges. There's lots of small manufacturers, direct to consumer manufacturers, Hogan, for an example.
You get in the woods, though, is where there is a big difference.
Yeah, titanium is expensive. I mean,
and testing, right? Yes, like testing those is difficult compared to testing.
Yeah. Now, well, I will say, though, and I actually wrote about it today relative to another manufacturer, because the price of the premium stuff has gone up so much, there's definitely a market gap in the middle. So what we're seeing already, TaylorMade has already reintroduced and reissued some of their M4 product. I don't know if you caught some of that. Just a social media post and stuff on it. Brought it back at sort of a mid price level, and then their ownership of Adams as well, which is what I was writing. I was writing about today. You know, at $240 for a fairway wood and $195 for a hybrid, and they have multiple prices, like discounts for multiple clubs, so you can get, you know, two fairways and it brings it down to like 220. And I'm saying Canadian, so put that in US dollars, it's even cheaper. So I think there is room in the market for some designs that are maybe not, we won't call them leading edge, but maybe have some modern refurbishments that will be more than satisfactory for a lot of players. So I would say look for that, because I think what's happened too within the supply chain is manufacturers have had to look and say, hey, you know what? We have a lot of new golfers that are getting into the game. They're not fully, you know, invested in going, hey, I need to spend $700 or $800 on a driver, but I do want to buy something new. So there's certainly a market there for something that's $300 or $400. You know, and it still seems odd to call that a mid-price club.
Yeah, I agree. You brought up Adams, and I was going to bring them up, but now I'm on a, remember we used to do for a couple episodes, we did like top five favorite irons from these brands, or putters from these brands. Adams had some nice, like
Titleist irons. I played them.
They had some nice, good, like players cavity backs for a couple of years. And their hybrids were always so good.
I played their Titleist Tour iron for a couple seasons, actually. It was really solid, even though
I still have them like in the basement.
No, I don't have. Oh, I think I have a partial set of that one. I think I left a nine iron or something at Pinehurst, and I never got it back. So I somehow was in the fairway, and
my guess is there was like a late night beverages round of golf, and something silly happened.
But yeah, you know, they did have some good products and stuff that the stuff that you could still play. So I would say, you know, to address the question, is it going to level out? No. Because, you know, equipment is going to go higher and higher as far as, you know, testing new products, things like that. The prices are always going to go up. Inflation, everything to do with it. Will it mean that there's only high-end equipment? No. So, like I said, there's another gap that's there now. And I think some manufacturers are diving in there. Even Wilson has got some really good products now with some good irons that are more mid-priced as well. So if people dig around, and as you said, the, you know, sub 70 and all these different ones, there's definitely some products that are out there that will definitely fill the need.
Yes, sir.
All right. Last one here. Is the Ryder Cup the most fun week in golf for fans and players alike?
I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think, I don't know how it can't be. It does not, like, it looks fun atmosphere, but it does not look fun to be there to actually watch golf. We've talked about this last week.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how much golf are you really seeing? Think about all those fans on the first tee. Now, once the final group's off on, say, foursomes on Saturday in the afternoon, right? Where do all those people go? Because I want to go watch that final group, and they all want to do the same thing. That's a lot of people watching four guys, right? Yeah. Like four balls in the air. So I think it's really fun. You know,
I think different. TV viewing.
Well, is it? is it fun watching commercials?
Well, not based on what we've said, that's for sure.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think what's most fun is lead changes and a big leaderboard come Sunday. And I think that's what the Ryder Cup does provide, is lead changes because of match play. And yeah, so I can't come up with a better answer from a fun perspective.
I guess it really depends how a person defines fun, or, you know, is it the week that you enjoy the most? A lot of people obviously go with something like the Masters or the Open. Is it different? Yes. I think that's what makes it, you know, interesting, because you just don't get that situation. And there's no way that the Zurich Classic will ever be mistaken for the Ryder Cup as far as excitement in a team type of environment. So I would say it's one of the most hyped weeks, and one of the more interesting because players end up in different situations and we get to see some really bad shots, you know, and we get to see some wild recoveries from some of those bad shots that maybe you wouldn't see normally on a tour broadcast. I would say I definitely enjoy Solheim and Ryder Cup. Those are fun weeks to watch, but give me an Open Championship.
The best tweet I saw the week about the Ryder Cup was the last time players got a police escort to the Ryder Cup, Rory McIlroy ended up with a new fiance. I
love that. That's so good.
Oh, just such a good tweet. I'll let you do your research on yeah. how that came to be.
Well thought right. out.
Yeah, the mailbag, let's wrap that up. Thank you, Scotty, for getting those out there. Thank you for sending them in. Send them in every week. Scotty, let's hit a tip of the week real quick before we wrap up the episode.
Yeah, actually, this is one that you might relate to a little bit, but what I've seen of late is some people that have some issues with the use of their trail arm. Trail arm obviously being the arm that's away from the target side. I see a lot of people trying to get their golf club back in behind them, but doing it in an improper way. A lot of times people will just retract their right shoulder back and then push their right elbow back and it gets way in behind them. And then as a result of it, they don't rotate their upper body. And what they'll do in to make up for it is then they throw the club out and cast it out and kind of come across in a lot of cases. It's a very difficult position then too, to, you know, to maybe approach a golf club from the, or a golf ball from the inside, because you've got an elbow that's really jammed up against your side. So what I would advise players to do is really look at how they're working with their trail arm and look how their elbow works. So what's going to happen is that you've got a seam on your golf shirt. And if you're taking a backswing, you'll notice, don't get your elbow to get behind or past that seam. Look at it as being a little bit of a border. All right. So what you want to do is just make your rotation and turn. Don't shove your elbow past way deep in behind you. If you want your arm to get behind you, rotate your upper body to get that depth in the golf swing, and you'll get the hands in behind you and it'll be a lot more clear. And then from there, you'll have the room to make a good golf swing, probably have a little bit more speed and more power and control as well. So be very careful about how you're getting those hands and your elbows in behind you in your backswing.
That's good. Good advice. If you want more advice like this, you might want to reach out to Scotty Quick. Winter's coming. I don't know how we look, Scotty. We fully booked for the winter.
It's pretty packed. Yeah. Yeah.
I asked Scott for a slot each week and I'm pretty sure it's like, that's just on red. It's still just sitting there like, I missed that one. I don't know. There's other good players wanted my help. So sorry.
You know, it's a busy time. There's obviously a lot of people that want to work on their games. There is a, you know, some limitations with indoor facilities. So people, as they look ahead, we're seeing more people add them to their own homes. You know, obviously we played with our friend Andy there last week, who does simulators. There's definitely a big demand for them, but on the other side as well, there's a capacity issue for a lot of the golf coaches that are out there. A lot of them are really just catching up on their lessons. They've had more requests than they could possibly imagine, especially with a lot of golfers coming to the game and other players playing more. So they're actually wanting to pay attention to their game. So don't be surprised if, you know, if you reach out to a golf pro and say, hey, can I get a lesson this week? Chances are it's not going to happen. So if you're interested in doing some instruction with anybody, and you know, you can reach out and look at the PGA of Canada website. They have a whole find the pro section that's in there. You can put in the city that you're in. You know, if you happen to know the name of the person and maybe you want to find out where they're at these days, you can search it that way too. But definitely call them well in advance if you want to get in on their lessons this winter.
I like it. After I just said I called in advance and got ghosted, but it's okay. It's fine. It's fine. It's
well
fine.
In advance.
I'll come over without announcement and make my own key. It'll be fine. All right. Let's leave it at that before I get arrested or get a restraining order. Scotty, great job. Ryder Cup. It's over. PGA
yeah.
Tour restarts, but ShopRite Championship. I hope when we come back next week, we have said Mel Reed has defended. I'm going to give you the week off. We're not going to do any wine bets this week, but starting next week, we're coming back with our pick three players. If one of them wins,
all right,
we're back on with the wine. How are we going to get through the winter without wine?
I hear you 100%. So I'm game for that. And hopefully that helps me remember more winners.
There you go. And then, you know, what if I win? I can just bring it over to your place and we can just have it over a nice round of golf and we can record the podcast in the, you know, in the dome. Let's do it. All right. Let's leave it there. Thanks everyone for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Give us some ratings. We haven't had some ratings in a while. Let's get some ratings on, I believe only Apple really does it. So
yeah,
Apple Podcasts, give us some ratings. And maybe we'll start some giveaways soon. Best rating or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I don't know where I'm going. Let's leave it up there before I start calling people samus again. I'm Steph Deere. He's Scott McCloud. You've been listening to T-Talk. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.